The took a little bit. How did I say? How does it
Say
say?
that after many cooling of Schön and Gifhorn, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome until we get to the place we're supposed to get. But Baruch Hashem, we're here, and I hope as the sessions go on, there will be we'll be able to do it a little more efficiently. We will be starting Shabbatim, which will be the E in the Sechta. As far as the additional material, I mean, just tentatively until we get a feel and idea of what Elam wants, I have one or two suggestions as far as what we would do. We would do Cheskes HaBatim for the Iyun part, and the last 15 minutes of both Shurim, we wanted to dedicate to some sort of machshava. I had two proposals I would put out to Elam, and whatever they would like. I would like to do some of the classic Sfarim, so I would suggest either Kuzari or the Rambam, not Mora, but all the others, and much other material from Yesod HaTorah and Mada. There's quite a bit. The Rambam in this the end of certain halachas, the Rambam is Igros. Those are my two suggestions, and let the Olim discuss it, and whatever they would like would be fine. For the time being, we have only two or three sessions for Yontif. We have today, possibly Wednesday. I'm not sure if we're scheduled for Wednesday, and Bez Hashem next Sunday. So I'd like to do something with a Yontif in mind, and I want to do the Rambam Tshuva for today, and possibly Wednesday if we have a session. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, as opposed to, let's say, a Sefer like Shaare Tshuva is really going on the motivation for Tshuva. And he works a lot on why a person should be doing Tshuva, the thought process of somebody's going to do Tshuva, and that's very, very important. It really is providing sort of a stimulus for doing tshuva. If you look at the Rambam is going on the mitzvah. And the Rambam's, I think the way the Rambam understood is as follows. You cannot have a mitzvah for a person to have charata from his aveira and to do tshuva, because that is almost self-contradictory. If a person is interested in continuing to do his averus and he's not having charata, adding a mitzvah to have charata is not going to help. This is very similar to the one on emunah, but it's not close. And emunah, they all ask the kasha, how can you have a mitzvah on emunah? If a person believes, he believes. If he doesn't believe, you can't tell him to believe. But in the Rambam, in tshuva, over there are explanations. Someday, we'll see explanations there. But over here, for sure, this is valid, that a person cannot be mechuyev to, you can't say there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, because mimon nefshach. If the person is still osuk in his aveira, then you can't say, well, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. The mitzvah of tshuva must bal karchach be starting at the point of charata. So let's see the way the Rambam phrases it. The Rambam in the two lines of description of the mitzvah before he starts halacha is mitzvahs ase achas. There is one mitzvah, v'hi sheyoshev achote mechetel lifnei Hashem, that the person who does avera should be Yoshev Lifnei Hashem v'yisvadeh. We're going to see soon how to read that statement. Does it mean there's a mitzvah to be Shav Micheto, or is that not quite the way to read it? It doesn't stem with what he says in Halacha, and doesn't stem with the way he says it in the mitzvahs either. Let's see the first Halacha, the beginning of the first Halacha, and then we're going to see it in his Sefer Mitzvahs. Aleph. Kol ha-mitzvah shebetorah, bein eseh bein lo saseh, im ovar odom ha-achas mehen, bein bezodin bein beshkoga, kishayase tshuva, v'yoshuv michetoi, chayav l'sfades v'akel baruch hu. When a person does tshuva, and he has charata from the very did, he's chayif to be misvade. Shenema isho isha kiyasu mikol chatas odom limum al Hashem ve'oshma nefeshahi v'svades chatasam she'osu zevidu dvorim. Uvidu zemitzus esem. So the Rambam is very clear. Rambam doesn't leave much room for a suffix, that the mitzvah itself is the mitzvah of is the mitzvah of saying vidu. That's quite clear in the Rambam. It seems strange to us a little bit because of all the parts, when you go through the Shaar Tshuva and you learn about the charotis and the yogon and all the emotional aspects of tshuva and kabbalah and the asid, nazib, sachet, and so on, vidu is the easy one. Vidu comes a dime a dozen, at least three for the price of one every morning for slichas, those who daven nusach sfarad and every day and say tachnon. Vidu is not difficult, and it doesn't seem all that should be the mitzvah. And yet the Rambam is very clear, the mitzvah of tshuva that we speak about is mitzvah vidui. In Sefer Mitzvahs, I'll just read a little bit, same thing, mitzvah ayin gimel, he shetzivonu lehisvados al avonos v'chatoyim, shechatonu lifnei akel, v'lom also ima tshuva. So he's very clear that the mitzvah is the vidui. So what does it mean? What's the pshat saying vidui? It's nice, it seems as mabikach. So that chauffeur in the background is not a special effect, in case you're hearing it. It's just happens somebody's practicing for some reason. What is the pshat in the Rambam? So I think the Rambam means as follows. His lashon also is vidui dvarim. A person has charata from something he did, then those are vague feelings. Those are feelings of, they're emotional feelings, ups and downs, and sort of vague regrets. A person can be deeply regretted. When you bring something to a stage of speaking it out, it's a much stronger, it's a much, much stronger, a statement, obviously, but it becomes real to the person, tangible through saying it out. So one element is to take all of those in yanim. I feel bad I did it. It was wrong of me. I won't do it again. And to bring it to the level of dibur, kui machem dvarim b'shuva l'Hashem means take feelings and make words out of them. In halacha, you find, for instance, a neder. Very rarely, there is a small sliver of nedarim that are chal without dibur. The vast majority need dibur. Kinyanim, there's Devarim Ba'alma, but Machshava is nothing except for Nidreit Stuck and so on. A Dibur is a certain strength of a person's feelings. So the mitzvah is, if you do regret doing it, if you don't regret doing it, there's obviously no point in having a mitzvah. If somebody Chazachas for Shalom is not regretting it, there's not going to be a mitzvah to do the tshuva on that. But if you regret it, the chiyuv is to bring it to deeper. That's one element in this vidui part of it. There's another element, and I think that this is probably, if we'll take a look in the Rambam, we will have it, I think we'll see it well. So the first point was just the vidui dvarim itself, that it be b'dibur. I think there's another nekuda. Let's take a look. Let's think a second about a scenario. Somebody, I'm working and I have a boss, and this boss is not a particularly nice person. That's for some reason most bosses tend to be, unless you are the boss. And it's kind of, he's not a nice person, and you don't say anything. And one day you say something really, really, really strong and nasty. They would say, Nevrit, Kamosha Magielo, Samato Bamakom. You finish your tirade, and the boss says, okay, young man, I understand you're not happy here. Find another place to work. And there are no jobs around. Now, a bardas really regrets having said it because it's stupid because he has no job and no parnasa and so on and so forth. Okay, but does he feel he owes his boss an apology? Is it something that he is owes it to somebody? The answer is no. His boss deserved it. He's even worse than it was described. But it just was not a very wise thing to do because of my issues. In other words, regretting, let's say a person says, I believe there's an Olam Haba, and I believe there's a Gehenim. I had a taiva, I did an Aveira. And now the taiva is gone, and I'm facing the prospect of Gehenim. That was stupid of me to do. Okay. But why should I, to say something means you have to say it to somebody. Saying speech means that I'm talking to somebody. It's only if I dehere it as a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like it says on a Sechem of Dilan Benir Benchem, that it's part of relationship. Let's say a person said something angry to his spouse or to his child, and then he realizes that, you know, I've hurt spouse, the child, and it's sort of created a stress and strain in a relationship, and it was wrong of me to have hurt that person or have created that rift. I use words to mend that relationship. I think if we look carefully in the Rambam says, "Kisiryaste tshuva v'yoshev mecheto, chayev lisvados lifnei hakel baruch hu." He's mechuyev to be misvada lifnei hakel. In other words, the hadgasha is that the sense of vidui dvarim, the sense of the vidui and the dibur is to somebody. It's also the word vidui, sort of is the same word, comes from the same root as like a hoidas baldin, where I admit. Admission, I can only admit to someone. For instance, if I thought that I left my key in one place and I found it in another place, so I remember now that I made a mistake and I found the other place. And the word admit just doesn't, it can't be used in a context. But let's say I had an argument with somebody and the person said, you left it here, and I said, left it here, and then he was right, I admit to him. Hodah is when I owe somebody something. In other words, I had been wrong, or I was wrong, or he's right. It requires some sort of argument. If I owe Reuven money, so there's a hodah spaldin when I say I owe Reuven money. But if I say to myself, I ought to do this with the money, it's not called hodah. So the mitzvah of vidui is, and I think this is the Rambam, going back to the Rambam, the beginning of where he puts on halacha, mitzvahs ase achas v'yishe yoshuv hachotei mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvade. So I think the lifnei Hashem is that point. When the person decides that the avera was wrong vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where the person now has a chiyuv to be misvada. Because it's if your wrong is because you think that you have Gehenim or something, then okay, it's not going to help me. I don't need to pardes to Hashem unless you twist my arm. But because the avera is a lifnei Hashem, the Rambam is even mitzvahs the same lashon. He shetzivonu lisvados alavonos v'chatoim shechatonu lifnei hakel. Now we can read it both ways, and both ways are right. He shetzivonu lisvados kama alavonos v'chatoim shechatonu kama lifnei hakel. In other words, lifnei hakel referring to lisvados, or alavonos v'chatoim shechatonu lifnei hakel. either one, in the Lifnei Hashem can be talking about that very good individual, and I think in a sense we're saying it both would be right. It's only meaningful in the context of that. So now it helps us understand why vidui is such a central feature of tshuva and the mitzvahs in the vidui. And before our problem was that for us, promising is the easiest part of it. Saying and promising is very, very easy. There's an expression in Yiddish, Liebe und Zuzug kosten Geld nicht. Promising and loving doesn't cost any money. So for us, we feel that the Aziv is a chet and so on. It's we're not looking at right. Vidui means the speaking out, the enunciating of all of the other parts of the tshuva, and enunciating it to Hashem. It's part of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the elements in vidui. So vidui is not a component within tshuva. It's a madrega of tshuva. And he brings the pasuk, Shenema Isha Isha, Ki Yasim Kol Chatas Odom Limol Mal Bashem, Va Ashman Ev Shehi Bisvadas Chatosa Masha Osu. Ze vidui dvarim. So any type of way we did, there's vidui dvarim. Uvidui is a mitzvah essay. I'd like to address another point that I think is sort of in this inyan. It says a person with this over zodon or shkaga is chayev to be misvada and so on. It's obvious because the mitzvah of vidui is learned from karbonis. Karbonis are by and large in a b'shogeg, even though particularly that case that the pasuk is talking about, it's not. But by and large, karbonis are b'shogeg, and all karbonis need tshuva, they need vidui, and so on and so forth. It's hard for us to understand where that wrong was. If a person was a shogeg, you know, it's something really to spend some time on, but it's not the point that it would go. I don't want to go off into it so much, but I want to just explain in this context. If I step on somebody else's foot, b'shogeg. So, A, halachically, Adam is chayv even b'shogeg. B, menschlichkeit, I mean, civility requires common decency. You apologize profusely. You don't say that if a person messed up on an exam, b'shogeg. He really didn't know what his exam, whatever it was. You don't ask the person to be misvad al chatov, because a shogeg on my affairs is a shogeg. So I need to be a little more careful. I need to be, there's no real tvia on me except be careful and mark things down and keep things in mind and so on and so forth. But the problem is when there is an other, klapi the other, I have done something wrong. Now, shogeg and mezid, when you're dealing with your own issues, why did I not do well on this test? Well, I knew it was a test, but I just passed it around, did nothing. That's a worse indication. When I did something that is wronged somebody else, that wronging is still there, even if it's b'shogeg. When somebody steps on our toe b'shogeg, it's not nothing. So any time you affect a relationship, a shkaga is an aveira. An aveira is a barrier between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person's guilt may be little because he's a shogeg, but it still requires the same apology to the other because you affected the other, you affect your relationship. Okay. Ketzad misvada. How is it misvada? Oimer, honor Hashem. And I think this is where we see it more strongly than anyplace else. If vidui was me just stating my affairs, what's honor Hashem? I'm not davening for. I could at the end where it says kaper and so on, we understand the mahalach of it. Why do we stop? On Hashem Chatas V'Ezi, please Hashem, I sinned in this and that. There's no bakasha. The Rambam says the ikar vida is on Hashem Chatas V'Ezi Pashat Fanecha Asisi Kach Vekach Ve'Nicham Tiu Boshtu B'Masai U'Lo'ol Merchayzu Davazeh Zehu Ikar Shel Vidui. So in the Rambam's vidui, in the Rambam's ikar shel vidui, there's no tefillah for kapara on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, we say on Hashem. The answer is because vidui is lifnei Hashem. Vidui is owing up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we've wronged him in the sense of relationship to him. So it's just like when I apologize to somebody else and I say, I'm sorry I stepped on your toe. It's not enough that I go home and I say to myself, what have I done wrong today? I inadvertently stepped on people's toes. I should be looking at what they're doing and I will change it. But what about what you owe the person? You owe the person an apology. You owe him an admission that you hurt him and so on. So we need to have that on Hashem is a very crucial part. It starts with on Hashem. We say Chatas Avitav Shad Fanecha. Now Vasisi Kach VeKach. The Rambam says doesn't always require a pirut. I'll explain it later. And then in the deeper of vidui, you include Ve'Nichamti Yiboshti B'Masai. I've had charata. I'm embarrassed. Ula Olam Ein Chayza L'Davazeh. And I will not return to this again. So really the Rambam says, vidui is the verbalization of the tshuva process. I want to zoom in a little bit more. It says, chatasi kach vekach, one, okay. Nichamti. Well, first let's go slowly. Chatasi avisi pashati. I did chatoim, I did avonis, and I did pshoim. Vasisi kach vekach. And I did as follows. It's interesting because the Rambam is using as an example where he did one aver, a sisi kach pekach. So is it chatasi, is it avisi, or is it pashati? Now, when we're talking about a general video like we do, we say chatanu, avinu, pashanu, because we're talking about everything. But we're talking about one specific aver, and he's looking for ikar shel vidui. So he would have said chatasi, oy avisi, oy pashati, or something like that. So again, I'm not sure 100% that the Rambam has to be so meduyik on this point, but I think in every aveira, chet, avon, and pesha, one is shogeg, one is mezid, one is bemerida, bedafka, mumal hachis. They're not just three levels of how bad the aveira is. These are three different motivations. These are three different areas of problems. And it's possible, in a sense, to have them all in one aveira. One is that I want to break the bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A pshay means I want to break the bond itself. I want to be so beholden and so tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Daf could do it, so sort of push myself out. A chet means a carelessness about things, and so on. Those are all things. Avon requires a certain bad taiva in a person. These are three different areas. For instance, a person who doesn't, yes, there is a ranking which is worse, but each one of these three carries a special aspect, and it's possible in every aveira. One is a person is, he's a reckless person. He's not responsible. One is the person has a taiva. So a person doesn't read this bad in one way. A person, let's give an example. If a person smokes marijuana, but dafka to hurt his parents, that's a bad thing. But on the other hand, he's not hooked on marijuana. The person who's hooked on marijuana, but doesn't want to hurt his parents, it's nice, at least he's, you know, it's not out to hurt his parents, but he's hooked on marijuana. Doing it for a taiva, doing it for dafka, doing it out of carelessness, each one is a different facet of relationship. And each one carries in itself a need to bring that out. So it's possible, I think, in one aveira, we can have chatas, avisi, and pashati. Now, ve'nechamti, I have charata. We understand that. That makes a lot of sense. Uboshti b'ma'asai. and I am embarrassed with my meisim. That piece, what is that? In other words, charata is the word nichamti. I've had charata. La'olam enichoz l'davazeh is a kabbalah on lasid lavo. What's that boshti part? Where is that busha nekuda in the context of charata? Yes, Chazal say wonderful things that a person does an avera and he's mevayish, mispayish from it. It's nimchalav on himself. We understand busha as being an appropriate reaction to avera, and it's something that definitely is positive in terms of a person's tshuva process. But why is it included in the vidu? Nichamti means I wish I hadn't done it. I regret it. And lola mechosa means I won't do it again. So I think boshas is as follows. When a person, let's say a person does something which is harmful for himself, let's give an example. A person smokes cigarettes. So it's very, very unhealthy for him, and it's very, very bad, and it has all sorts of medical issues, and the person suffers from medical issues. So he has charati, did it. Yeah, now we understand. Is he embarrassed? Well, from who should he be embarrassed? I mean, the word embarrassed requires another. So somebody says to him, you stupid idiot, you know, you've been chain smoking for 25 years and now you can't breathe, so what's the chiddush? So I can't say it would be embarrassed. I kind of feel a little strange, but it wouldn't be. The word embarrassed is not really useful. But let's say I promise my wife I'll stop smoking. And then, you know, 10 years down the pike, she hops, I've been smoking all along. You're embarrassed. Busha requires an other and a relationship to an other to incur busha. So the regret of where it's affected, let's take a different example. Let's say a person has been, let's say under Nazi occupation, the person was in the underground. And he lied through his teeth and told the Nazis that he's a loyal, civilian, and then they catch him. He's not going to be happy being caught, but he's not going to be mispayish because he doesn't owe the Nazi anything. He played a game with them. He doesn't feel in any way that he owes them anything and that he did anything wrong to them. I mean, he definitely was trying to subvert them, but to sabotage them. But there's no busha. Busha requires Atat, you are right and I'm wrong. That's when you get busha. So the knach of busha in it means towards a kashbaru. Let's take a more practical example. A person comes down to a bracha and he says, you know, you've been patching away a year, and today you're a rank amaretz. Everybody else knows Babasa Valper, and you still don't have a focus that they're what it's talking about, and you're gonna be the laughing stock and nothing. You didn't accomplish anything, and so on and so forth. People might feel bad, and people would have charata and so on. That would be words like that have pushed many bacha in a direction of learning, and many bacha out of learning. But it's still those words can be effective. But it wouldn't the busha part of it, the lifnei Hashem part of it, wouldn't be dominant. It's when you say to yourself, you know, this is your bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is learning and understanding how he would like you to see things in the world. This is your real kesha, and you've missed that kesha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where you have this type of attitude, of feeling. And as a person is marba dvarim, it's meshubach. It's meshubach on the one hand, it helps the person come to a clear understanding of what his problems are. And also, klapi the person being meratze mefayis. It's just like if somebody says, I apologize, versus somebody says, you know, I really, it was so unthoughtful of me, and I know it really must have hurt terribly, and so on and so forth. When a person puts a little more arichus into his apology, it's more meaningful, instead of just a generic formula. V'chein, the Rambam says, all other things, a miskapelem bekarbonem achasu tshuva, the svad of Yidivar. If you bring a chatas on osham, shenema visvada shechotela, so clearly a chatas which is shogi requires kapara, it requires vidri. The Rambam is picking the two extremes, the easiest and the hardest ones. Even Chuyiv Mrs. Bezin, the person got, and it's coming so soon because of Ashias Chuvav Yisvadu. The Cheni says, Hachovul Bechaber Amazik Mamono, Af Alpi Sheshilim Lo, Mashu Chayev Lo, Eino Miskapelo, Ache Yisvadu, Vyoshe Melasa Sosa Olam, Shemekol Chatezada. So even Be'onam L'Chaveiro carries in itself the dimension of Be'onam L'Makom, and a person is M'chuyiv Vidi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having maligned another person. Now, I want to sort of explain something, and again, it's all going to follow with a line of thought that we've introduced. The picture of a virus, like being like a cancer, or whatever, or hardening the arteries, pick your machla. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kapara process, Gehenna, and so on and so forth, is a process of cleansing it, getting rid of the neshama of it, and so on. One would be tempted to think that if a person has the Yisurim, Dalme Ochre Tshuva, he had the Yisurim. So let's take, so we'll say like this. A person who has to get Mrs. Bezin for whatever he did, somebody was Bechal Shabbos, he gets Skila, so the Skila, Tshuva doesn't help without Skila, so Skila is the process that really purifies the person. The person gets a terrible death and he dies and so on and so forth. That sort of removes in the person whatever problems he had. And the answer is no, because the problem, Averis are not just kind of an objective little nick in the neshama, and we cure it. It's the relationship between the person HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if there's no attempt to address that, then what does the Yisurim accomplish? It's not. Let's take an example. Let's say you wronged somebody else, you hurt somebody else, and you tell the person, you know, I don't know what happened. You were driving a car. You didn't look where you were, and you ran over somebody's foot, chas v'shalom. It hurt, the person was in terrible pain, he had to have a cast, all sorts of things. So if you tell your person, yeah, I'm sorry, he's not a little Hallmark card, best apologies, and with some cute cartoon, it's not going to do the trick, because there's a sense of a hollowness, and sort of there's a lack of equivalence between the apology and what you did wrong. Let's say I pay a person's medical bills, and then I give him a week's vacation in Florida to make up for it. So there's a sense that, you know, the person is sincere about his apology because he's willing to pay the price for it. He's paying the price, and he's doing this in order to undo the bad feeling that I had. He feels bad that I felt bad. And there, that works well. Imagine I'm very rich, and I ran over somebody's with my Lexus. I ran over somebody's foot. First thing I checked, make sure the tires are okay, no scratches on the Lexus. And then I say, oh my gosh, this guy might sue me, this guy that. I ran out of check on the spot, and I say, here, enjoy yourself. Is that making amends? Let's say I make 2 weeks in Florida, not in Florida, 2 weeks in Hawaii. It doesn't make amends because the issue was my disregard for the person, my avla to the person. All the other elements just enhance it. They make it meaningful. It takes it out of the realm of words. And it's just like I take machshavas and make a dibur out of them. I take dibur and make a mice out of them. But if I stop at the point of the if I start with the mice and there's nothing behind it, the machshava, it doesn't work. Averis are at the end of the day, everything is about people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a kesha between Bar Olam and Evraim. That's what it's all about. There are things we do wrong that are at a level where the Burim alone are enough, since the Burim are enough of a dagger. There are things that's not enough. You need to add a carbon as a ritzu. In other words, you need to sense that for this, I'm spending time and money and effort and bizyonos and seeing myself as being nikrav. There are things that my body needs to feel makis or worse. Those are all in yanim that we can, they're enhancing the vidui. But without the vidui, no amount of pounding on your back is going to take away the sense of, listen, a bunch of, I ate chaza, it was good. Yeah, I know there's some problems. Yeah, hit and you know, get over it. That's not where the kapara works. That's not where the vidui works. So it says for all of the kaparas, for all of the mechaprim, you need to have vidui with it, because vidui is it's the center of it in a certain sense. It's the feeling behind it in the strongest way possible. I want to add another dimensional explanation to what we're saying now. And are we supposed to take any questions at some point or not? Yeah, fine, good. Right now we sort of have it on three dargas. We have the person's charata and sense of wrong and desire not to do it again. We have the vidui dvarim, and then we have different things that might need a carbon, sola, zazel, yom kippur, and malchus, and so forth. Those are all, they really rank along a sort of hierarchy that's quite spoken about in Sfarim, and it's called machshava and dibur and maisa. This is the Tanya. This is one of the most frequently used terms in the Tanya, that a person acts on three different layers as human being: machshava, dibur, and maisa. The machshava part we understand is the person's innermost feelings. It's the highest part of the person. It's what makes a person's consciousness and understanding. Somebody's not a bar das, is part of a mitzvah, is not chayav and averus. We understand the das part. The maisa part we understand, because people always say, tachlis, where's the maisa? Where is the check? Let's see the tachlis. Enough words, fine. So the two ends of it, we understand. So we understand, comparable would be the charatas and the feeling bad and so on. We understand also the maisim that we do. Why is the dibur so crucial? And that actually is the focus point, is the vidui, is the dibur. So we've explained it because the dibur is to somebody. I also want to explain a point about dibur, which is true here, it's true everywhere also. Dibur stands between machshava and maisa in two ways, and that's why it's such a central component of much of things. On the one hand, when people think, it's very hard to hold a person accountable for his thoughts, or it's sila tova and sila muta. I have different thoughts that flow through my mind all day long. Should I? Shouldn't I? Yeah, maybe. Terrible. Not so bad. Who knows? A machshava is an open field. I once heard that the Maral says, I don't sort of exactly inside. He said something, there's dvar betel, and also there's a machshava betel, because machshava is, that's the way it is. It lacks in being something fixed and definitive. When I enunciate it, it is the maisa of machshava. In other words, machshava attains its greatest reality at the level of being spoken out. The Maral in the Siva Lashon speaks an incredible amount about this nekuda. It's a nekuda of his about the chshivas of Lashon. And therefore, he explains how Lashon is actually it is the most concrete form of machshava. On the other hand, let's say I see somebody walk over and give somebody a slap. Well, what did I see? I'm not sure. I saw somebody's hand hit somebody's cheek. Was this malicious? I wanted to hurt the other person. I wanted maybe to humiliate the other person. Maybe this is a culture where a little slap on the face, like Avraham Yosef is noted that the special Mikurovim get a slap on the cheek, and that's considered to be a great chiba. Am I a teacher and I wanted to punish this person because this person did something wrong and he needed a patch as a punishment? Am I like a very, very fatshragna person? I'm sitting thinking other things and I just walk by and slap the person. Just kind of, I was, in my mind, I was who knows where. Or somebody's demented, lo aleinu, and he thinks he's fighting a dragon and he happens to slap the guy next to him. There's no, the ma'aseh itself says nothing. Ma'aseh itself carries no machshava that I know. When I say, I am now going to give you a patch because you misbehaved and you need to learn. Or, you are despicable. Take this. Or I say, you're just the cutest person I know, kind of in the playful slap. Then I describe what the slap is. The dibur provides the machshava to the ma'aseh. So the dibur is the axis. It makes a ma'aseh out of his machshava, and it adds a machshava to his ma'aseh. And in that sense, it's probably the most significant piece in the whole puzzle. Yes.
There's a question, why is it there's a need for specificity when somebody asks for mechila? Can they
Yes.
just say, I feel terrible for what I did, but why do they have to go and count all of the mice? Why is that important?
Okay. We have a question here about why it need to be specific. Like the Rambam says, if you marbet varim yemeshubach. Let's take an example for us. If a person has hurt us, let's say a person came late. He was supposed to pick us up at a certain time, and he came 10 minutes late. And he says, I apologize for being late. But unless the person is really kind of tells me, I know I came 10 minutes late. We got there past the time we're supposed to meet the person. The person left in a huff. You didn't get your check for the institution. You're now $50,000 under. You're running around like a sugar last week to get all those things because of those 10 minutes. I realize what I did to you. The more generic we are, the more general we are, the less there's a sense that I've realized the implication of all the wrong I've done. It's like Moshe Ma'at Avad Da'ima on Pesach night. We say that there was 50 makis, 250 makis, depending on how we dash an etzba, ever v'zam. It doesn't mean 250 separate makis. It means every maka contains in itself many, many other makis. So sometimes a small thing that I do, I carelessly tossed out a piece of paper that somebody that was on somebody's desk or whatever it was. I took out the mail and there was a piece of paper I just left. That piece of paper can do so many, can create so many issues for me. So enumerating it means that I realize all the nuances of chet that I've done, and I understand each one is a problem, and therefore I'm doing tshuva with each one. That's the reason for it. So the vidu over here is on every punishment. It says when they took out Ochon, to stone him, they told him in Mesvada, all chayav mises bezdin, because the effect of the mises bezdin is there when I understand it, and understand it in the strongest way possible, meaning I say it, that I recognize that this is what I've done wrong, and deserving of this. What Vidi does is it creates the it gives meaning to the Einish. So my Kabbalah's Onish on it, it's like when I get a gift and a subscription on the gift, both are much more meaningful. When somebody wishes me well with a gift and he inscribes a few words on the gift, a few thoughtful words, so first of all, his thoughts mean a lot because of the gift with it, and his gift is meaningful because there are words inscribed in it. So that's what Ram is saying about Vidi. Base. Sarah HaMishtaleach, Lefishu Kapar L'chol Yisrael. The Sarah HaMishtaleach is the one Kapar for all Kla Yisrael. Kain Godel Misvada Olof, Al-Lashayn Kol Yisrael. The Kain Godel says Vidi for all of Kla Yisrael. Shinema Misvada Olof, as Kol Avodas Me Yisrael. Okay, now Rambam says, and this is using the Frankel Rambam, this would have been a new halacha. Yes, two dots here, wherever the Rambam himself wanted to make a new halacha. The halachas, the subdivisions of halachas are later ones, and he claims to have the original ones, so just it's important to get a sense that it's a new thought. So HaMishtaleach, Mechapa Kaveh Shebetorah Kolos V'chamuros Bein Zodon, Shkoga, Hoidaloi Veshloi Hoidaloi. Hakol Miskapi Besar Mishtaleach. Vehu Sha'osa Tshuva. Avim Loyosa Tshuva in Asoy Mechapa Loi Ela Akalis. So if you do Tshuva, so is Mechapa on everything. And if you don't, it's only Mechapa on Kalis. I want to, at some other point we'll discuss how could something work without Tshuva. After we've been discussing how things need to work with Tshuva, it will relate to the idea of Yom Kippur's Mechapa, even with Leshavim, Shain Leshavim, or just Leshavim. I want to leave that alone aside, because that really needs, it should be spoken out of there. But I want to talk a minute about Soya Mishtaleach. Soya Mishtaleach is an incredible carbon. Let's understand its significance in line of this. I tell you that I have a store that sells shoes. Fine. Let's say I sell shoes and handbags. Great. So I sell shoes, handbags, dresses, skirts, this, that, the other thing. All I have is a bigger store, mega store. It's godless. It's a size. Let's say I'm a doctor that I know how to treat infectious diseases. Good. That means I've studied a lot of infectious. Let's say I can do infectious diseases and heart disease. Just a lot of knowledge. I've taken my boards on cardiology, I take my boards on infectious diseases, I take my boards on oncology. Fine. Let's say you have a psychologist who can deal with teenagers, can deal with adults, can deal with old people, can deal with these problems, those are other problems. I see something else. I see something that is makif. He has a deeper understanding of a person, because what we understand is when we're talking about something like psychology, for instance, we're dealing with layers of nefesh. And the question is my understanding at the twig level, at the branch level, at the top of the tree level, or at the root level? And the deeper my understanding is, the more it's makif everything else. The when I'm dealing with things of a nefesh, the amount of issues I can address or I can deal with really are a sense of what's the point at which I can hit home. So if the person can give me good study habits, so fine. So he's dealing with a very, very small branch of a branch of a branch. The more you can do, the bigger it's makif. Kaparas avinus and chatoyim. The Daf Shachaim says it. It's sort of what you do is you have to hit home at healthy tissue. Keilu, let's give a demonstration. So let's sort of illustrate it. When you want to cut away diseased tissues, you need to know where there is healthy tissue that you can relate to. Where's the healthy tissue that you can build on? Person, a dentist puts in a bridge. He looks for strong teeth material and puts the bridge there. All kaparas deal each one with their own avarice and so on and so forth. Yes, that's great. To find a kapara that is able in one fell swoop to take care of the chatos and the avoinus and the mezidim. Like we said before, they're not just degrees of chumrah. There's no bechal masai mana. Mises bez is not going to be mechap on somebody else if you don't chayit that. Here you have Soyer HaMishtaleach is the incredible, I don't know if the word is carbon, because it's not a carbon, it's a kapara. It's an incredible kapara that's able to include the entirety of Klal Yisrael's activities. That means it hits home at a shoresh that is the deepest shoresh that can be tapped into. Every carbon taps into a certain shoresh, you know, and that's how it heals the rest of it. Soyer HaMishtaleach is an extraordinary kapara. And it's important to bear that in mind. When you say the avoda, what was unique about the Soyer HaMishtaleach, and is taka in a certain sense, don't worry, Meir, the deepest avoda is that the Hatolos Gerolos. Let's explain. Just get a knach, so we get a sense of somebody oimek in these inyanim. Every carbon has to be separated with a nether. A person has to willfully separate a carbon. He has to be makdishit. He has to say, this is l'shem my chatas. That's a very important part of it. You can't just walk in with a carbon and bring it. It requires premeditation. And be kovea, this as that, and it's l'shma, and so on and so forth. The carbon, the soya la'zozel and the soya la'shem is the only one that we have no choice in it. It goes to a point where we have to leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to choose, kind of. It's a very, very deep avoda. The fact that it's so makiv, everything, is something which tells us something about the oimek of Soyer HaMishtaleach. And then the Rambam says, Omar HaKalos Mechamuris, we say easy ones and chamur ones. HaChamuris Hein Averis Shachayov Lemises Bez Nekaris, Shvur Shav V'Sheker, Afa b'shem b'karis hayimin achamuros, u'shar mitzvois los asem it's eseh shem b'karis hein akalos. So it's interesting. The Rambam says the type of punishment is usually a correlation of chumras and kalos, but not always. There are sometimes things that even though have a different, they're only a lav in terms of punishment. There's no karis. It's chamur. Shua sheken and shua shav and sheker are called chamuras, even though they don't actually have a severe punishment. I just want to point out there is a famous Maimar Chazal that Shia Tidei Matzchoron Shel Mitzvus. And they ask kind of what about the different gradations of Aver and so on and so forth. This is an example where even though you don't have the level of Misa, you don't have the level of punishment, you do have, one is called Kalos, one is called Chamuros. In what sense is it Kalos and Chamuros? And as the Rambam says, it's only Nogea for Soyer HaMishtaleach. And whether you need to do tshuva for Soyer HaMishtaleach or you don't need to do tshuva. We won't have an answer for it now because we don't have an answer for why it is something mechap without tshuva. I just wanted to note that it's called kalos and chamuros in terms, as far as one thing goes, in terms of this inyan, because it's not really the gear for other things. Shavua sheker, we say the world was mizdazea. But in terms of being nogea lemaisa, this is kemat the only thing I think is nogea lemaisa. Certainly sheker. I don't think it's nogea lemaisa. There's a habdin in Gemara. There's a remeir that says a person voice of nefesh was saying sheker. But still, this is the only thing it's nogea for is can there be a kapara without tshuva? That defines the difference between kalas and chamuros. Okay, I think we have to hold it here now. So are we on Wednesday? You don't think so? Okay, so I'd like to wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Toiva, and Dakash Baruch Hu, I hope we should be zochet to make a learning program that will really help everybody anchor themselves in Beis Hashem, Shesulim Beis Hashem, and help them in Avodas HaKodesh. All right, a good year.